closer with God, the closer we become and the more personal our relationship becomes. Because then when we start talking to him just with our normal selves, just saying, hey, God, I need some help. We don't have to go, the almightieth Godeth, I blesseth the dayeth, and we cometh before you. And you can get into that if you'd like to. But as long as I've been praying, I just say, hey, God, I need some help. Lord, I need you to give me some insight. And again, it's what does God judge? Our heart. And he's looking right into the heart of you and wherever you are. And he knows. I'm just going to trace a little bit back to that Omaha landing in World War II. This was an amazing thing I was seeing, is that almost every man that they interviewed was old. And they were interviewing him and they were saying, when I got on the beach, was I brave? No. Was I ready to go and jump out there and do what I had to do? No. Was I scared to death? Absolutely. I was scared to death. And each one of them, this is a statement I was telling Carol, listen to what they're saying. I prayed and I asked God. I said, God, if you get me through this, I'll do whatever you want. When the bombs are dropping and the machine gun bullets are zipping by, you see, many of us don't realize that that's exactly what we're in today, is we're in a spiritual battle and a spiritual war. And there's bombs, there's natural bombs being dropped right on side of us all day long. There's bullets zipping by, zoom, zoom, zoom. And I mean, sometimes we just don't get it. We don't realize the importance of interceding and asking God to give us the wisdom on how to overcome the power of the enemy, how to seek his face and when to step out. It was so it's an amazing thing to see them, how they were. Some of them were running, some of them hiding. And this one fellow says, I'm so embarrassed to say this, and it took me probably 40 years, he said, to admit this. He goes, but I grabbed another man's dead body and pulled it up in front of me while I was swimming in to hold it up as a shield. He says, I never told anybody that for 40 years because I was embarrassed. But this is what saved him. And too many of us don't realize that we've got to trust Jesus. We've got to grab onto Jesus and hold him up so that he takes the bullets. How many of you know he bled and died so that you can have life? And that's what we got to do. We've got to grab onto him with both hands and realize that he's taking the bullets for us. He's taken the whippings for our illness. He's taken the punching for our redemption. He went through it all so that we can have life. And each one of the men also said this. He goes, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And it's amazing to how many of us won't do what God really wants us to do. We won't wait for him. We won't get our second touch, our second win, as you will. Sometimes we run, and when you're running, sometimes you realize that you catch a second win, and then you can run a little further. We need to be touched again. Mark chapter 8. And 22 says this. Then he, Jesus, came to Bethesda, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. Are we seeing anything today? And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Then he pulled up his hands and over his eyes again. Say again. How many of you need another touch right now? Father, you see the hands of the folks that want another touch. Lord, that need that second touch right now. Lord, we ask you to grant that. We ask you to touch their hearts, minds, and souls. Lord, that you would bring them, oh God, to a place of vision to be able to see clearly. Amen. And he looked up and he restored, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Say clearly. How many of you know it's time for us to start seeing things clearly? Start looking at what life is truly about. How do we see clearly? I'd like to talk to you about four different little things this morning about how to see things clearly and things that we run into. The first one is crossroads. We run into crossroads in our life where we have to make decisions. Then he came to Bethesda, the house. Listen to what this word Bethesda actually means in the Greek. It means this. It means the house of hunting and fishing. You got to go get it. You got to go after it. You got to fish it. You got to hook it. You got to pull it in. hunting, the house of hunting and fishing. So as he came to the house of Bethesda, when he came to that crossroad, too many times we think that we do things before we trust the Lord. We just act on just what we think. We act in out our lives, and we don't think before we act. Sometimes we just don't stop. Say stop. Sometimes we just don't stop and think about life and how important it is that we make right decisions, especially at critical times in our life. Sometimes these crossroads come and we lose control. We do things that we just want to do. Or we don't do things that we should be doing. Or we come into this crossroads in our lives. Do we realize that at the crossroads, many times in our lives, we've decided to make a critical decision. Have you made some critical decisions in your life that sometimes it worked out really good and sometimes it didn't work out at all? Well, I would have to say probably the times it didn't work out at all is the times that we didn't seek God's face, and the other times is when we just had his mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Then we come to these crossroads and decisions that we can do what we want to do or we can seek God's will. Affects these things that we come to, they will sometimes affect the rest of our lives. Have you ever made a critical decision that now it's affected the rest of your life and you're trying to deal with trying to understand what did I do wrong or what did I do right or how did I get to this place? Well, no matter how you got here, you're here. Now the point is what are you going to do with what you got? What are you going to do with where you're at? Are you going to start making the right decisions? Or do we realize that at these crossroads, we've had times where we got married, times where we had jobs, times that we had children, times that we got saved. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Times where we learned how to walk with Jesus. There's been times in different crossroads that we've come to in our lives that we have made critical decisions. And when we're making these decisions, are we just doing what we think is right? Of course, you know the scripture that says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end leads to death. Well, that's why a lot of us are struggling and going through problems because we didn't truly seek God's will. I bet you can still remember a few crossroads in your life where somebody spoke to you, either encouragement or even sometimes people spoke to you and hurt your feelings and wounded you. Maybe even as a small child, you may have been affected by the words that somebody said to you. That's why I'm talking to you this morning about crossroads, making the right decisions and making sure we're communicating in the proper way to folks, that we're not, that we're the witness, that we're the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. It affects many people many different ways. Have you had some critical decisions that other people made and spoke into your life, either damnation and it gave you trouble, or a glory to God and it's been great? Anybody ever had those experiences? You've had a few where different people. I can remember a 10th grade English teacher that, man, I was ready to quit school because she spoke some words that just offended me and made hurt my heart, you know? And we got to learn how to forgive. But you know what? God is good. Have you ever been offended? Have you ever had some words that just took the life out of you? I'm here to tell you that Jesus is a restorer. He's one that brings back he restores what the world tries to take away. What the devil meant for bad, God's going to turn around and help you out with it and bring it to a place where you can learn now how to help somebody else. How many of you know it's time for us to rise up and help some other folks, huh? There's a lot of folks in this world that needs help. These crossroads that we come to, many things that will give us an opportunity. We all have things we have to go through. How many of you have been through some things? We all have some things that we've got to adjust in our life and make things right. Sometimes we need help. Say help. How many of you know we have the Holy Spirit? The Lord sent us the Holy Spirit as the helper. Let's go. Let's go ask him. Let's go talk to him. Let's go get on our knees and say, Lord, I need you. I need your insight. Watch what this word says, Matthew chapter 6 and 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, I'm going to stop there for a minute because this is where a lot of us as Christians don't realize the importance of small little words. Say if. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You see the importance of learning how to forgive? Have you been offended? Have you been wounded? Have you had these crossroads in your life where somebody's affected the way you think, the way you breathe, the way you understand life? Has somebody affected you so much so that it's made you bitter or frustrated or wounded in your heart and mind and soul? And I'm here to tell you, it's time to forgive them and move on. And you know, there's been many a times, Carol and I have been to many of different marriage counseling classes and different things like this. And it seems like sometimes you go back over these things and you say, well, I've already forgiven them. I've already dealt with that. But yet, there's a little residual leftover stuff that's causing bitterness and anger and frustration. And when you dig deep into it, you pull it up again and say, Lord, did I truly forgive them or was I just saying words? I'm here to say it's time for us to truly forgive and move into the life cycle, the living life cycle. Number one was crossroads. Number two is competing or completing. Are you going to compete with other people? Are you going to compete with your spouse? Or are you going to learn how to complete what God called you to do? Are you ready to be strengthened? You know, the next part of that scripture is that he brought, they sought God out and they brought the blind man to Jesus. They brought him in. And that's where it is that are we competing with each other? Are we bringing other people to Christ? Or are we just saying, well, you know what? I go to church. If you don't go, there's something wrong with you. Sometimes we walk around our job, you know, thanking the Lord all day long. Lord, thank you for saving my soul, but let him go to hell. And Lord, I'm here to tell you, it's time for us to start being the true witness and truly communicating with people that needs Jesus. Do you know we're living in a society, in a world right now, that people need the love and mercy and compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ? Can you say amen? Just wanted to make sure we're in the right place. We're not in competition with other churches. We're not in competition with other Christians. We don't have to put down other churches and say, but they don't do it as good as we do it. They don't pray as good as I do. They don't do this. They don't speak in tongues. They don't lay hands on healing. Don't quit all that competition stuff and just glorify the Lord and realize that there is some things we can agree on, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Say amen. We need to learn how to bring the blind people to Jesus. Amen. Not everybody that, I don't know about you, but I was a very competitive person when I was a younger man. When I drove a vehicle, I would go as fast as I possibly can from point A to point B. I thought the idea was is nobody could get in front of me. I would drive down the interstate, and if there was a car past me, I'd give it the gas. It was just automatic. It was like, okay, let's go. Ask my wife. I could not allow another car to pass me. I mean, I'd blow up my engine if I had to. I didn't care. I was going to beat them. I'm going to show them. And then one day, it dawned on me. I'm not beating them. There's always got somebody got a faster car. There's always got... And then, you know, it dawned on me. It's like we don't have to be in competition with each other. Too many people come to church today and they're in competition with each other. It's not about competing with each other, but it's about learning how to complete one another. The word says it like this. I have need of you. I can't say to the hand nor to the foot, I don't need you. I need you. We need each other. We need the body of Christ. And when you run into another religion, or as long as they're lifting up Jesus as Lord and Savior, then you know what? This is a hard place, because how many of you ever contemplated this? We got it right and they got it wrong. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever contemplated what makes what we believe right and what makes them believe what's wrong? Of course, it's the Word of God, of course, right? We need to verify our whole belief system by the Word of God. So when we learn to apply the Word of God, then That's what's right. Now watch this. How many of you have changed your mind after reading the Word of God? You had your mind made up one way and you started reading, and all of a sudden God said, wait a minute, look at this word. And you went, oh, poing, I understand. You were illuminated. You understood differently than you used to. How many of you ever changed your mind about the way you thought? Well, guess what? There's a lot of people out there that still need their enlightenment. They still need to be enlightened. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know about you, but they're not going to be enlightened by you fussing at them and telling them how idiotic their belief is because yours is right and theirs is wrong. They're not going to listen to you, are they? What are they going to do? Put up a wall. They're going to put up a wall. They're going to say, I ain't going to listen to him. Have you ever been offended by other Christians? Don't raise your hand. Sometimes Christians can wound each other. Sometimes we will shoot each other just to be right. We should learn to soften our hearts and minds and spirits and ask the Holy Spirit for enlightenment on how to communicate. Say how. How to communicate to other people that may not get what you got. Or maybe they can enlighten you. Hallelujah. And bring some enlightenment to your life. Well, it's not about a competition, but it's about a completing, a strengthening of each other. We're supposed to strengthen each other. We're supposed to help each other out. You know what? If I don't understand a word, don't fuss at me about it. Explain it to me. Have you ever been on a job where the boss calls you stupid because you didn't know how to do something, but you've never done that before, so you don't know? But once they taught you, then you learned. Say, learned. How many of you need some learning? Hallelujah, we all need it. Jesus is good, amen? We should see how we can help one another. See how we can invest into the next generation. See how instead of, this next generation, they're a bunch of little punks. They don't understand nothing. Well, how about let's teach them? How about let's open up some doors? How about let's help them? You know what? The Holy Spirit's here this morning, and just now when I said that, there's about four people that got a little bling. The Lord said, yeah, that's you. I need you to help. I need you to do what you need to do to help the next generation see. Instead of competing with other churches, other youth groups, other anybody, people, spouses, you're not in a, you know what? Sometimes spouses all get in fuss because they want to prove who's right. I'm right. And you might be right, but you'll lose that argument. Too many times people try to prove points and end up in turmoil in their home. It's time for us to learn how to communicate, which we'll be getting to that in just a minute. Let's learn how to help one another. Let's learn how to truly win. Amen? It's not about learning how to win in the natural, but how to win in the spiritual by putting on the full armor of the light. Amen? 1 Peter 3:10 says this, For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and let his lips and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. It's amazing how many people don't pursue peace or seek after peace, but wants to cause turmoil. Did you hear what Zach did? Did you hear what he shaved his face? I can't believe it. I used to love that furry face he had. Now he looks like a little kid. You see what I'm saying? We want to it's not about you. Let's learn how to pursue peace. Let's learn how to go after God and seek Him. For the eyes of the Lord, watch this, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and the ears are open to their prayers. His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those. Say against. But the face of the Lord are against those who do evil. Do you truly seek victory in your life? Are you ready for your victory? Are you ready for some victory in your life? Then forgive and learn how to not be in competition and go after God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Seeking clarity, seeing clearer. Number three, communication is more than confrontation. Communication is more than confrontation. And listen to what it says in verse 24 of that scripture back then. He said, and he looked up and said, I see men walking as trees. I see men like trees walking. And he learned how to communicate with the Lord. And sometimes instead of trying to get before the Lord and speak just true words of from your heart, we want to say a prayer. Let's say the Jabez prayer. Let's say this prayer. Let's say the Our Father prayer. And that's all good. And it's good things to learn how to communicate to God. But it's time for us to just communicate and learn how to just say, God, you know what? Hear my heart. How many of you are ready for God just to hear your whole heart? You know, it's like quit trying to hide from him because he knows exactly where you are and what's going on. It's no sense in trying to say, well, Lord, No, just go ahead before him and be honest and say, okay, Lord, you caught me. Have you ever been caught by your mom or your dad and you just knew you was caught? Sometimes we will lie in the middle of getting caught. I don't know if you ever heard me tell you this story, but one time I was outside. You ever see a little kid jumping in a puddle? Kicking the water, and I'm just kicking away and jumping down in a puddle. It rained that day. And my mom was looking out the window watching me. She says, hey, what you doing? And I went, I was caught. I don't know about you, but I was like, first thing I thought of was lie. Anybody ever just thought of lie first, right? I looked up and I fell in the water. And sometimes we like to tell God, I fell in the water. And he goes, yeah, right. I've been watching you. In case you didn't know, I see all, I know all. And then sometimes we treat God like he's a fool. And we treat him like, you know, we can get away with this and we're sneaking by. But how many of you know he knows it all? He knows exactly where we are. So why don't in the midst of our prayer time, why don't we just get real honest with God and just say, hey, God, okay, look, I've been messing it up. I've got this problem. I got that problem. I got a few problems in your life. Anybody, I just need to know. Look around, everybody. See, the other one's a lion, so y'all go ahead and raise your hand. Nah, anyway, we all got issues and problems. Many of us believe in challenging each other, but we got to learn how it's not about just winning in the natural. We got to learn how to see clearly. The conversation is not a confrontation. We got to learn that when we love each other, we get past the confrontation and we come to an agreement to understand that God is good and he loves you and he's given you some insight on how to communicate to other people, if we'll ask. Even in our homes, again, I'm going back to just sometimes we've got to start right there at home. We've just got to start being the right person to our family. How many of you know that's why, I don't know, I've experienced a lot of things and I did a lot of things incorrectly. Anybody ever do some incorrectly things? And, you know, sometimes your family would get together and we'd go up by my brother's house and he had this belief and I believed this way and we'd be sitting there discussing it. And it wasn't just a debate or a discussion. It was arguing. And all of the kids used to sit back and say, boy, I just don't want to go to church because if this is what Christianity is about, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to argue about this point and that point. And I'll bring it back down to a regular natural understanding. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I used to love to play football. We'd play football almost every day. My brother Hilaire, are you in here? Hilaire's back there. He was him and this other guy. They were the older guys. He's 5 years older than me. And they had another guy who was about his age. His name was Mike Broussard. And Hilaire and Mike Broussard, they were the quarterbacks because they were the older ones, right? And the rest of us would just run out there. Well, it was about four or five or six of us playing ball every day. And every day, you know, you ever play touch football? Anybody ever play touch football? You know, when you get the ball, they run in and they tag you. Okay, that's it. You're caught. You're done. You stop right there. Well, every now and then, Mike and Hilaire would get to arguing. He never touched me. Yes, he did. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. For the next 30 minutes, they would be arguing about being touched. Where there's six other people standing around going, well, can we now get to going and playing some ball? Who cares? Let's put the ball down wherever. Let's play. And sometimes in our Christian life, we just want to argue whether or not we got touched. instead of whether or not we can play the game right. Can we just start playing the game? Can we just start doing what God called us to do and quit worrying about whether or not you got tagged wrong or not? See, too many of us are just caught up into trying to prove points. I'm better than you. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. Leave it alone. Communication, not confrontation. Learn how to communicate with each other. Fourth thing I want to talk to you this morning about is calming the crisis in our life through knowledge. Through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the knowledge of the Word of God. Calming the crisis in our life. As we live in our life, how many of you have had a few crises you've been through? You came to those crossroads and then some of them was a crisis. And then when we come to these crossroads, it's time for us to stop and realize, wait. When we come to these crises, it's time for us to stop and realize, do we know who's in control? Do we know that Jesus Christ is God Almighty? He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. Do you know He created all things? Do you know that nothing consists unless He's in it? Absolutely nothing. Everything that was made, He made. Everything we have, He gave us. So when we stop and realize this knowledge, when we use the wisdom of God and apply the knowledge of the Word of God in our life, watch what happens. We start realizing that, you know what? No matter how many times I pass up cars on the interstate and I want to get faster than they are, hey, it still comes back to haunt me every now and then. I have to tell you, almost like about once a month, Jerry lives a little bit further down from here than I do. And he'll pass me up. We're both sitting at the red light. And guess what we're doing? He's got about four different cars now. And I raced every one of them. So let's go. It still happens, don't it? Still happens in your life. Still things are going to happen where you're going to be tested. Unbelievable. What the things are that we go through. When we go through these crises in life, apply the Word of God. Then he put out his hand. Watch this. This is the last part of that scripture. Then he put out his hand on his eyes again. Say again. You see, sometimes we need that second touch. He put out his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And when he was restored and saw everything clearly. Do you realize how good it is to realize? How good it is to realize that God is in control. And no matter where we are and what we're going through, He's bringing us to a place. He's bringing us through stuff. He's bringing us to a place of understanding all about life. Have you ever just stopped and looked up and thought, wow, God, you're good? Going back to that World War II, those men, they went back to Omaha Island, where all of the graves are. And there was one man, he says, I got a photographic memory. And he goes, I'm standing here on the beach and I can tell you exactly where each body was that I saw. Each day I saw a different body, a different blood, a different man dying, different people. Now watch this. This is so sad because it's going to blow your mind if you grab on to what I'm trying to say. How many of you know some dead Christians that you have seen throughout your life die and they didn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? How many of you know it's our responsibility? I don't know if you saw this, but there was a lot of them who got wounded. And every man there would grab another wounded man's arm and say, come on, let's go. Come on, we can get there. We can make it. And too many of us have not allowed ourselves to see clearly that we have many friends and neighbors and family members that need a second touch, an understanding of who Jesus is. And we got to learn how to grab them and help them on up. How many of you are ready to start grabbing some folks and helping them up? We got to calm some things down. We see clearly right now, but we got to calm down. Do you really want to fight? Often, many times you've heard me say this about my wife, is I would get to discussing something heated. Have you ever had a heated discussion? Okay, that means arguing. And my wife will look at me and she says, do you really want to fight? And the wise man that I am, I said, no, babe, I'm good. I'm good. I don't want to fight. Now, let me ask you this question. Whenever we get in those debates and those thoughts come in our minds to say things to wound and hurt, can we just realize that Jesus is looking at you right now and he's saying, do you really want to fight? Or do you want to reach out past your, this is going to hurt some feelings, past your arrogance and realize that I love this person as much as I love you. And now I want to give you some insight on how to calmly bring the knowledge and wisdom of God and help them come to the understanding where you are. Now, you might be more wiser than that person. They might be wiser than you, but don't understand Christianity, don't understand the spirituality of things. And I'm here to tell you, it's time for us to start praying for them, number one, interceding for them, and then asking God to give us words of wisdom to say, what to truly say to them, and not just have a competition with them. Calm them down. Many times we make wrong decisions. Many times we make wrong decisions. Oh, we say things like this. I am saved, but I have an anger problem. Is it coming? I'm saved, but I have an anger problem. I'm saved, but I'm going through some stuff. I'm saved, but I've been playing games with God. I'm saved, but I'm beginning to see clearly. I'm saved, but I need a second touch. Bible says that Jacob wrestled with God. Have you ever wrestled with God? Anybody here ever wrestled with God? Come on, God. You got to do this. You got to do that. How many of you know we can't tell God what to do? He's going to do what he wants to do. How many of you know that we can't be right? Because he's an infinite God. I'm here to tell you. You might be saved. You might be wrestling with God. You might be all alone like Moses up on the mountain and there's a burning bush there. And you're going, God, what is this? I must go and see what's happening. How many of you know Moses was on the mountain by himself? Sometimes you're all alone. Sometimes you might be like David that says, how long, oh God? We spoke a little bit about that last week. How long do I have to wait? How long do I have to put up with this? How long do I have to endure? You know, the scripture said earlier, I mean, that song we read, sang earlier, said as long as life endures. Do you know that you got to learn how to overcome? You got to learn how to overcome. You got to learn how to overcome. The enemy is trying to take away your joy, your love, your mercy, your compassion. How many of you know we serve the King of Kings? He's here this morning and he's touching your heart. And he's letting you know it's not over yet. You still got some friends and family members that's down on the beach and they're still alive and they're wounded. And they need Jesus. They need the Holy Spirit. And you got him with you. Would you start praying? Would you start interceding and finding out what we can say or not say? Just pray to our friends and family that need Jesus. Adam hid himself in the garden because he was naked. You might be naked. You might be all kind of problems going on. You might be hiding yourself in the garden. But Jesus says, come on. Come on out from them bushes. You ain't really hiding. You know, God tells Adam right there, he says, Adam, where are you? Like he didn't know. But sometimes we got to admit it. I hid myself, Lord, because I was naked. And you might be naked this morning. And God might be dealing with you and saying, come on out. Come on out from the bushes. Come on out from the woods. Come on out. Don't hide yourself. Jesus says, I love you. I love you so much. Quit hiding. For I'm here for you this morning. Do we have courage to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I need a second touch. I need a second touch. I'm just asking you this morning, if that's you, please stand on your feet. Because God's here this morning, and there's some folks that need a second touch. If you need a second touch, just raise both your hands saying, Lord, I'm just naked before you this morning. I'm all alone. I don't care who else is next to me and who is not. But Father, I'm naked before you this morning, Lord. Lord, I'm alone, Lord. I'm up there looking at the burning bush and I quite don't understand it. Lord, I've wrestled with you and I've told you before, Lord, I'm not ready. Lord, I don't know if I'm ready to do this stuff. But the Lord's saying, I'm here for you today to give you a second touch so that you might see clearly, that you might have understanding. Will we tell the Lord, Lord, it's time for me to see clearly? Will we see clearly this morning? I'm here to tell you that we need to have a better understanding of who God is. But where do you have a need before Jesus this morning? Do you know that Jesus is here for your needs? Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Can you just say it with me? Come, Holy Spirit, right now, Lord, and help me. Right now in this place, Lord. Right now, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Open the eyes of my heart. Open them up, Lord, that I might see clearly. Thank you, Lord, for this Memorial Day, that we can remember you. Lord, not only do we remember our veterans, Lord, that helped us live a free life in this country, but Lord, we also come before you and realize that your Son, Jesus Christ, paid the biggest price. So, Father, we surrender afresh and anew right now in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Hug somebody in Jesus' name. Don't walk out of here not believing and not understanding that Jesus loves you. If you've got kids in children's church, please go get them. Start praying for your family and friends and give them a call maybe tonight or tomorrow. Say happy Memorial Day. And by the way, Jesus loves you. God bless you. Hug somebody in Jesus' name. Amen.